fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Well, Darren Sproles is out for the year. Is Wendell Smallwood your waiver wire headliner this week? And what does that say about the waiver wire? Welcome to the show. We're done with 3 weeks. Hope you're 3-0. If not, yeah, start playing some FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com, sign up, and go to the Join Now button. Click on the Join Now button. Our code is CBSPOD. You're going to get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. All you got to do is use that code CBSPOD, void where prohibited. So who's got some 3-0 squads? Dave, Jamie, Heath?
I have one. I have a few. Two of them came against you.
Wow. I'm never bragging again, ever. I mean...
So, yeah, talk about that, Mr. Todd, early on Thursday.
It's pathetic. I mean...
Second time you've done that in your life.
It's pathetic. I'm never doing it again. And that's the thing, like, and this is why I don't usually change my lineups based on what happened on Thursday. If I'm down by big, you know, a big amount, I'm not going to, you know, make a lineup change that I wouldn't ordinarily make to try to catch points, because you just never know what happens. Like, I had J.J. Nelson. I needed 7 freaking fantasy points in a PPR league from J.J. Nelson. I got 0. I had C.J. Anderson in that league. I mean, I had some total duds, and I lost to Todd Gurley. I was so caught. I was like, there's no way I'm losing with Todd Gurley in PPR, and I lost. So good for me. And if Geronimo Allison doesn't get tackled inside the 5, if that goes as a touchdown, because I had Aaron Rodgers, I would have won, because Jamie had Mason Crosby.
Right, I had Crosby.
Yeah, so screw it. You know what? I'm done. I don't want to play anymore. It's like, you guys do the show. I'm so annoyed. So annoyed. But I do have something very cool to tell you about what I'll be doing this afternoon. It's a tease. It's coming in a little bit. Heath, any 3-0s?
I think I have 2. So
nice.
It's okay.
That's all right.
I've got 1-0-3 team still, and that one's like, I thought it was maybe my best team coming into the year, so that's disheartening. But
so it goes. Okay, today's waiver wire, and we'll talk about the Monday night game, and we should probably talk about the Sunday night game as well. And a lot of people have some Chris Thompson questions, so we will absolutely discuss Chris Thompson, but let's get started with your top 3 waiver wire priorities for Fantasy Week 4. Dave, why don't you kick it off?
I think you got to start with Wendell Smallwood and the opportunity that should be ahead of him now that Darren Sproles has both a broken arm and a torn ACL. It could be the end of the line for poor Darren. Loved watching him play. And now Smallwood's going to get a big opportunity, or at least we think, working with LeGarrette Blount. After him, I don't know if there's anybody that I'm really dying to get off the waiver wire. I think it depends on what your needs are. Receivers like Sterling Shepard, Marquise Lee, Rashard Matthews, those guys are out there. If you're streaming quarterbacks, I think Andy Dalton is the best you can do this week. And other running backs that are good pass catchers, Jamal Charles, Alvin Kamara, Andre Ellington. Did I give you 3?
You did.
Are you still calling Jamal Charles a good pass catcher?
No.
Because he doesn't catch passes anymore?
I think he's still a good pass catcher. I've not seen anything to suggest that he's bad at it.
Right.
But they're not giving him opportunities, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I guess I looked at the running backs in what will be Jamie's waiver wire column, and it seems like Smallwood for sure, but it seems like I'll be focusing on wide receivers, maybe tight ends this week. Jamie, go ahead. Who are your top 3?
Well, Smallwood would be 1, Dalton would be 2, and then probably the Jaguars DST.
At the Jets. Yeah, what's their ownership, Jamie?
60%.
Yeah. 60%. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Heath, top 3 for you?
I'll go Smallwood. I'll go Marquise Lee. Love the fact that he's getting the targets at least, and I'll say Sterling Shepard.
Yeah?
You want a fun Geronimo Allison stat?
Yes. Can you say Geronimo as you say it?
I'm sorry?
Can you say like Geronimo?
Geronimo!
Okay.
Allison. He has now played 4 games in the last 2 years without Randall Cobb. And it's taking me a second to pull this up. Sorry.
Oh.
But in those 4 games, especially the last 2, just go with the last 2. He's been at least 12 fantasy points in the last 2 games without Randall Cobb on the field.
Okay. And you want an even less exciting stat? Not that was so unexciting, but also cool, but some... Okay, never mind. You want another stat about a wide receiver? Here it is. Tyler Eifert's going to be out multiple weeks. Brandon LaFell, he scored 6 touchdowns last season. 4 of them came in games that Eifert did not play, and 1 of them came in Eifert's first game of the season when he played just 15 snaps. So maybe that's more for the 14-team league owners or deeper. But Brandon LaFell, I know he was a dud against the Packers, but, you know, he's got Cleveland. Yeah.
Man, there are a lot of good wide receiver options this week. A lot of them.
Yeah? All right, so.
I got a sleeper one.
Is it Brandon LaFell?
It is Travis Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Robert Woods.
There's another one.
I don't want to have to rely on those guys, but Paul Richardson.
What if you have to?
If you have to, then you hopefully are in a 14-team league. Like, would you rather go with Paul Richardson if Doug Baldwin's out?
Potentially.
Yeah. All right, we'll get into all that. We'll get into all that, but give me like a 0 to 10 grade on the waiver wire this week. I'm feeling like a 4.
Yeah, it's not good.
6.5.
I'll say 7.
Jamie,
why?
What?
Why so?
I like the tight end streaming options. It's got great quarterback streaming options this week. And there's a lot of wide receivers that have some. Like, we haven't said the name Rishard Matthews yet, right?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Dave did. He's 65% owned, so he's right at the threshold. But he should probably be number one at the wide receiver, right behind Smallwood.
Smallwood. Compare Smallwood this week to like how you felt about Chris Thompson last week.
They're so different.
Yeah.
But I think you just got to look at it and say workload.
All right. Compare Smallwood this week to how you felt about Kerwin Williams after week one.
I like him more.
Oh, much more.
And I asked you, two of you, Heath and Jamie, on Sunday show, which Eagles running back you like better going forward. I believe you said Blunt. You still feel that way?
No. I'll take Smallwood.
I think I said Blunt and standard, Smallwood and PPR.
I'll agree.
I'll go with that.
Dave?
Rest of the season, I'll take Blunt.
Okay. In PPR too?
I guess.
All right. Jamie, you're going to be in Los Angeles this week. You better get some Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, but that will not be... Well, that is the primary reason you're going, to try Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. What is the secondary reason you are going to Los Angeles?
I'll be at the Chelsea Pub and Lounge for the Packers-Bears game as part of an event for CBS Sports and Old Navy. So if you guys want to come out and say hi, I'll be there at 4 o'clock Pacific time. My first trip to Los Angeles. I do not know if I'll have time to get to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, Adam, but I'll try. But I will definitely be at the Chelsea Pub and Lounge, which is in Hermosa Beach. So come say hi. We'll talk. We'll talk about setting your lineups and talk about Packers Bears.
That will be very cool. That'll be very fun. And go out there if you're in the Los Angeles area. Jamie's there on Thursday, and the Packers Bears is the Thursday night game, obviously. So we talked. Just usually we spend a little bit more time on waiver wire at the top of the show. So let's just do that real quick here, even though it's not the most exciting week. Some of the tight end streamers that you'd be interested in, and we'll come back to these guys. But Heath, you said good tight ends to pick up this week. Who are you looking at?
I'm starting with Charles Clay. He scored against the Broncos. He's clearly Tyrod Taylor's favorite option after LeSean McCoy. He's his favorite option that's not a running back. And I expect the Bills are going to have to be chasing the score just a little bit more in this game at Atlanta. I like Clay's chances of getting another touchdown and six or seven more catches.
Charles Clay is the second most targeted player on the Bills, as Heath mentioned. McCoy has 20 targets. Clay has 18. Zay Jones has 12.
And I don't think, like, the Zay Jones thing, I saw something that just shocked me. I don't know that he's going to get a huge uptick in targets anytime soon. He's seen 12 targets. He's caught 3 of them.
That's not good. Maybe Jordan Matthews gets more targets. He has 11 so far in the season. And, Jamie, you actually have Cameron Brate as your number one tight end for this week.
Giants.
Yeah, but isn't Clay a little safer?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, there are some options. Certainly, Safarian Jenkins, Ben Watson. More on that in a minute. Look, I thought we should look ahead briefly to Week 5 because there are some big time quarterbacks that will be on bye, headlined by my favorite Trevor Siemian, but also Matt Ryan and Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins. So if you want to make a pickup now for Week 5, maybe you don't have to do it tonight, but at some point this week, here are some of the best quarterback options based on matchups that could be available in Week 5. And I'll just say Jameis Winston. He probably won't be available, but it's possible that somebody drops him because he's got the Giants this week. It's very unlikely, but Jameis Winston has the Patriots on a Thursday. Other, like, more realistic options. Jay Cutler against Tennessee. Cutler also has New Orleans. Yeah, New Orleans this week. Tennessee next week. They've been bad against quarterbacks. Joe Flacco is at Oakland. The Colts, whoever their quarterback's going to be, probably Brissett. They have a good matchup.
San Francisco.
Thank you. DeShone Kizer against the Jets. Josh McCown in that same game at Cleveland, revenge game. Minnesota at Chicago, although Chicago's been pretty good against quarterbacks at home. It's actually, unfortunately, not a great week. But I wish Cutler had done something against the Jets, because he's got the Saints this week and the Titans next week, and could be a guy to get you through those 2 weeks. And maybe he still will be. Just because he wasn't good against the Jets doesn't mean he won't be good against the Saints. And, yeah, I guess we will discuss Jay Cutler in a little bit. All right, who needs tickets? You better use SeatGeek when you need tickets. Why? Because you can go to any game or concert or theater or comedy shows that you want, and you can save $20 when you buy tickets on SeatGeek with our promo code FFT. That promo code is FFT. Look, last week, actually, I was talking to my friend in Florida. He said he wanted to go to a college football game. I told him to download the SeatGeek app. Do it, and he did, and he was, you know, better for it, because he bought 4 tickets, used our promo code FFT, thanks buddy, and he saved $20. And when you've already used the promo code once, you're still going to save money on SeatGeek, because, you know, SeatGeek's whole purpose is to save you time and money. The app, it searches multiple ticket sites, it finds the best deals, makes this whole process very simple. So do what I do, everybody. Please use SeatGeek from now on. You won't regret it. And our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. That's promo code FFT for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
I am on SeatGeek as we speak right now, looking at Jack Johnson tickets. I actually, air quotes, bought these tickets for my wife's birthday about a month and a half ago. I just gave her something saying that we were going to Jack Johnson for her birthday. But I didn't want to buy the tickets then, because they had just been announced and they were like $75. $100, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the price on SeatGeek, and when they come down to a lower price, I'll buy them, and then we'll go.
Beautiful.
I still haven't bought them yet. The concert's next week.
Are you
going
to go?
Yeah. Oh, we're going for sure.
I was hoping you were going to say maybe, and then I was going to say, Heath, it seems to me that maybe pretty much always means no, because that's the only Jack Johnson lyric that I actually know. So.
No. Better Together, Banana Pancakes.
Don't know Banana Pancakes.
Upside Down?
Upside Down. I know Upside Down.
Yeah.
Speaking of Upside Down, Stranger Things Season 2 coming out in about a month. Looking forward to it. Big news! Andrew Luck might practice this week, but will not play. We're looking at maybe week 6 or 7 for Andrew Luck of 2020 at this rate. But no, week 6, week 7, those have been the reports. So he will miss Seattle, maybe miss San Francisco in week 5, at Tennessee in week 6. Sam Bradford's status is unclear for this week. Are you planning on him playing?
Nope.
Melvin Gordon has a minor bone bruise in his knee. Are you planning on Melvin Gordon playing?
Yep.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to come back in week 3. So
cool. Pete Carroll talked about getting Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls more carries, and he said he couldn't do that last week because they were trailing. But, I mean, it's still Carson's job, right?
Yep. Got to be.
Rob Kelly's status is unclear. They have a Monday night game at Kansas City. Sproles out for the year. Ty Montgomery hurt his wrist. We don't think Montgomery is going to miss any time, right?
They cannot bring themselves to put anybody else in the game.
Yeah,
like, he hurt his wrist, and he's over there on the sideline. Like, you good? You good? Then he played 96% of the snaps.
Crazy. They got the Thursday game, but he should be fine. Matt Forte has a toe injury, and here we go. The spoiler. I teased it. Here it is. I am going to the city today to interview Matt Forte. How cool is that?
Wow.
That is awesome. Are you going to tell him how much time you spent telling everybody that Bilal Powell is better than him?
Oh, yeah. I was the only one in the fantasy community that thought Bilal Powell would be better than Matt Forte. No, but I'm going to ask him a super controversial question about what everybody's talking about these days, and he is the best person to answer it. I am going to ask him Chicago-style or New York-style pizza and see what he has to say. So get
he better give the right answer.
Yeah, he better say New York.
He'll say New York. He's in New York now.
Julio Jones has a minor back injury. He should be fine, Julio Jones?
Yeah.
All right. Doug Baldwin.
I'd like him to score a touchdown one of these weeks.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Doug Baldwin is a groin strain. We don't know the severity yet. Tyler Eifert, multiple weeks he's going to miss with a back injury. How droppable is Tyler Eifert?
I've got him in a couple of deeper leagues, and I'm not going to do it yet.
Drop him.
90% droppable. There are some deeper leagues where I wouldn't.
Right.
And if you drop him, you should change your team name to Tyler Eifert.
And do you expect the following players? Jordan Reed at Kansas City on Monday night.
No.
No.
All right. Well, if you don't expect him, then Vernon Davis is definitely somebody that we should be looking at on waivers. He's 5% owned. We don't expect Kelvin Benjamin.
Nope.
Michael Crabtree.
Nope.
Really? Okay. Sammy Watkins.
Not as of now.
Randall Cobb.
Nope.
Same.
Quick turnaround there. Corey Davis.
Nope.
John Brown.
Double nope.
J.J. Nelson. And when I say do you expect him to show up in the stat sheet in week 4?
I would hope so. I thought he'd show up this week.
Just awful.
3 targets, no catches. Tough go of it.
Just pathetic.
I don't know why you'd ever throw the ball at anybody but Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's why Heath's in a good mood.
Oh, that was so much fun.
He played great.
He is incredible.
He is not incredible. He's a possession receiver. He had a great game.
Are you kidding me? Did you watch? You just why don't
no,
you watch some?
He had a great game. He had a great game. Absolutely.
He had 15 targets and 13 catches. You give almost anybody in the league that type of work, and they'll do well.
He did pretty damn well.
Did you see the catches he made last night?
He made great catches.
The touchdown was awesome. The 37-yard play was awesome. He had a very good game. Before he had 21 yards.
I was prepared to talk about this because I knew Heath would want to. Like, he averages 11 yards per catch now. That's what he is. Like, the last 5 years, he basically averages like 11.2 yards per catch. He's not a great player. Great players don't average 11.2 yards per catch.
He's the third best receiver in the history of football.
He might be. Wow. Oh, no. That is, wow. Outrageously stupid comment. Oh, my God.
Jerry Rice, Randy Moss.
Calvin Johnson is the number 2 receiver in the history of football.
Nope.
And then Randy Moss might be 3.
You're saying Calvin's better than Jerry and Randy?
Absolutely than Randy Moss. Absolutely.
Wow.
Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
I think Antonio Brown may be there now.
He might be.
At 3.
Fitzgerald's had a great career. He's a top 10 receiver, but maybe top 5, but he ain't Calvin Johnson. All right, Heath, I want to introduce a segment to this show that we do on the baseball show. Hey, Real Quick. Hey, Real Quick's fun, right? We like Hey, Real Quick.
Yes. Now, this we're going to be quick with our answers and with the questions, or we just elaborate on the questions? I always get this messed up.
I don't know. Let's figure it out. This is our first time on FFT. So, hey, Real Quick, guys. Chris Thompson or Isaiah Crowell in PPR rest of season?
Thompson.
Wow.
Look, Crowell's not catching the ball.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
He's not getting a good rushing average. That offensive line isn't doing what we think he's doing. He's not getting as much work as we thought. He's also not scoring touchdowns. If you had told me before the season started that he'd have as many touchdowns through 3 weeks as Julio Jones, I would be excited.
You'd co-sign that one.
I'll say Thompson, but definitely Thompson this week.
Jamie, who you got?
Yeah, you have to.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, look, if Rob Kelly's out weeks and P. Ryan's out weeks, he's going to get more work.
He might get more work anyway.
Oh,
I think
agree.
They've got to – they don't have to turn him up to 20 touches a week, but 12 to 15, that should be the range at this point. And Cousins clearly is in love with him. This is the guy who's costing Jamison Crowder the breakout year we had.
Not to
mention, to an extent, Terrell Pryor, too.
I just want to say something.
Not him. Not Thompson.
No, but, I mean, Cousins does what he did Sunday night with Pryor and –
Crowder doing next to nothing, right.
All right, I'm hearing what you're saying here, and I'm seeing the emails and the tweets from our listeners, and I am thinking that Chris Thompson is just a beautiful sell-high candidate right now. And it,
of course.
And look, he's never had more than 12 carries in a game. P. Ryan has been bad, you know? He hasn't shown us anything, and they still didn't give.
He is bad.
He might be. I mean, look, we thought maybe Melvin Gordon was bad. He ended up being a good player. You know, P. Ryan is not doing well, and they still won't give Chris Thompson more than 8 carries last week, and that was with Piron getting a little banged up at the end of that game. So I don't know. When Kelly gets back, I don't know how many carries that Thompson gets, and you just can't rely on long touchdowns. They are as fluky as it gets. You can't rely on long touchdowns. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing with your answer, Thompson versus Crowell, but people are super high on Thompson right now, and it might be the time to sell. You know, would you rather have?
I don't know how much you can get from him.
I think you get a lot. People are really high.
If you're talking trade with a total noob in fantasy, you can probably rip him off.
Somebody said on Twitter, like, Chris Thompson's a top 10 running back rest of season. And I don't think that's
true. I don't know if I believe that. I think the 14 touches that he had last week is a career high for him.
I know 12 carries is a career high, and he's only had one game with more than 9. Real quick, Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott? Ezekiel Elliott, by the way, 2 straight games less than 4 yards per carry. He had 2 such games last year. One of them was his first ever game against the Giants. So kind of weird. He's not dominating. Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott?
I might argue that Zeke's been better in 2 of these first 3 games than he was last year. He has 2 of the 3 weeks this season, he has the most yards after contact.
Okay, well, sorry. Could you give
the line's just not been good.
Hey, real quick. Zeke or Gurley?
Zeke. I wrote about selling Todd Gurley yesterday. If you can get a star, do it.
Zeke.
I agree with the guys. Zeke.
Okay. He also is on pace for 60 catches. He had 32 last year in 15 games, Ezekiel Elliott. Hey, real quick. Terrell Pryor or Willie Snead?
Wow.
I'll take the unknown. I'll take Snead.
You'd rather have that, wouldn't you? You've got to figure at some point Pryor turns it around.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't like Pryor.
You don't like saying it, and neither do I, but you realize what he is and what his role is.
I'm just, there's a chance, like another couple of weeks of this, and I'm going to be saying, what, like, he had 1 year.
Well, I just want to go back to something, which I know I briefly mentioned it, and I don't think we really talked about it too much, is when Coleman was out, Pryor's numbers exploded last year. Mm-hmm. When Coleman came back, he was still good, but he wasn't as good. And so you're seeing him when he has to share the field with other guys, that maybe it's just the focus is not the same for him with the targets, and he's not living up to the potential.
I'm just wondering if after week one, Cousins began souring on him, because you see 11 targets in week one, and he had 6 catches, but he only had 66 yards. And then after that, 2 games with 4 targets, 2 games with 2 catches. He hasn't scored yet. And he hasn't had more than 31 yards in a game since week one when he had 66. So eventually he's going to put it together.
Okay. Well, Terrell Pryor, people are asking if they should drop Terrell Pryor. It's probably a little premature.
The better question, when you ask about whether or not you should drop a guy, if you saw that same player on the waiver wire in a different league, would you pick him up? Would you put in a waiver claim for him? Give up absolutely nothing to get him. And for me, the answer is yes. I would absolutely put in a waiver claim for Terrell Pryor. So that means I can't drop him.
He was one of the guys that I looked at and said, do I put him in the column now? No, it's too soon.
Do you put in a waiver claim for Jamison Crowder?
Yeah, I still do.
Yep.
Okay. Would you rather have Rishard Matthews or Jamison Crowder?
Matthews right now with Davis hurt.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about last night's game. Dallas 28, Arizona 17. Would you believe that Arizona had the ball for 36 minutes and 15 seconds? Dallas barely had the ball in this game. They had some long plays, short possessions, and struggled for a half. Dak Prescott, 34% started. He's the number 11 quarterback in fantasy, or he was the number 11 quarterback in fantasy in week 3. Actually, be interested to see where he ranks right now, because he's done very, very nicely. Respectable games against the Giants, the Broncos, and then a big game yesterday. So far, so good. Schedule's going to get a lot easier for them. I don't know. Any major takeaways from the Cowboys side?
The game was basically how Dallas wants to play football, which is be balanced and be efficient, which is what they ended up being, at least the final stats say, that they started off a little slow. And then when they got the short field in the second quarter, they seemed to really turn on the Jets. And Dak scoring that rushing touchdown, I feel like energized the whole team. Their offensive line did a lot better, and Dak was able to attack downfield. The touchdown to Bryce Butler was great. You asked where he ranks right now among fantasy quarterbacks. Dak is 8th. You've got Brady first with 90 fantasy points. He's far ahead of everybody else. And then Dak has 63 fantasy points. This is a standard scoring league. 18, 19, and 26 fantasy points through the first 3 weeks of the season.
And standard scoring with quarterbacks, we mean 6 points per passing touchdown in CBSSports.com leagues. The Cardinals scored 17 points with 36 minutes and 15 seconds of possession. Jamie, Palmer scored 25 points. Very good. But didn't really feel like it was very good, but he does get the
His
Niners.
His offensive line was a disaster.
Horrible. Oh, terrible. Missing their left tackle, and it shows. But their right tackle, Valdir, played awful. What do you think about Palmer going forward? Is he somebody we can rely on this season? Can we rely on him in week four against the Niners? What do you think?
Week four for sure. I mean, you just saw Jared Goff carve up that defense. So, yes, at home, you know, I think I mentioned this last week that the time change has been something that's impacted him over the course of his career. So this is one of those situations when he's at home, it's an opponent he's familiar with, he should be fine.
Yeah, I thought considering the circumstances and the way that his offensive line played, that he played very well last night. I don't have any problem starting him against San Francisco, and looking at his upcoming schedule, I think I'm probably fine starting him for the next month.
Yeah, San Francisco at Philadelphia. We'll see about the health of their secondary. Tampa Bay at the Rams, then a bye, then at San Francisco, and then it gets tougher. But we'll worry about that then for Carson Palmer, who's 75% owned. Any reason to own a Cardinals running back?
Ellington, I think, is their best guy, and I think he's also a good pass catcher out of the backfield, but he's going to get hurt eventually if they keep using him. If you're desperate, he's the guy, I guess. Chris Johnson's had it. He had an opportunity last night. He was terrible.
Looked awful.
He's not good. Ellington.
Not.
Ellington interests me. Like I might go for Ellington this week. Maybe it's not a waiver claim. Maybe it's a free agent pickup on Wednesday. But just to see what happens, it's, you know, kind of feels like Smallwood, where we think he's the best guy. Just give him the chance. But it also kind of feels like Chris Thompson, that he probably won't get that much work. But yeah, it's not a great situation, obviously. And drop J.J. Would you rather have Jerron Brown or J.J. Nelson rest of season?
J.J. Nelson.
I'll stick with Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but Brown is getting more targets. And even last week, he had 11 targets. He had 6 yesterday. He should have had 2 touchdowns. He had 1 called back. And I'm sure we don't care about Jermaine Gresham, who had 5 catches for 47 yards. So let's get into the waiver wire. Some news and notes real quick. John Harbaugh says he doesn't want to play in London anytime soon. They had a terrible showing. Ravens are better than that. We'll see how much better. Tampa Bay linebacker Levante David's week to week with an ankle injury. We got to check on all the injuries on defense for the Buccaneers. They face the Giants this week. Probably don't need that many guys. Seattle left tackle Reese Odhiambo. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's got an ankle injury. It's the last thing they want. They're already down one left tackle. Time for the drop-o-meter. And the drop-o-meter, we have, I think, 10 guys suggested by the Twitter folk out there. Terrence West. On the drop-o-meter from Ronnie.
3.5.
0? Who's dropping Terrence West?
I don't know if I'm starting Terrence West, but I don't think I'm dropping Terrence West.
Yeah, 0.
When my voice gets that high, it means I really mean it. So
I'm going 3.5.
Okay. That's still pretty low. That's still not a drop.
Right.
Hunter Henry and Jamison Crowder from Andy.
2 zeros for me. I would keep them.
Yeah, I think I agree. Maybe a 1 on Crowder.
Terrell Pryor.
Not a 1 on Henry, huh?
The Titans just make me want to puke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
Feels like there's 3 good ones and that's it.
Terrell Pryor.
0.
0.
And who's next? Baltimore DST.
8.
Yeah, 10.
They've got Pittsburgh. They've got Oakland. Then the Bears, then the Vikings, and the Dolphins, and the Titans. It's not great.
Eric Decker.
10.
10.
10.
Jacquizz Rodgers.
The only way I would hang on to him is if I'm in a league and with Doug Martin on my team and I'm desperate for a running back.
I wish you would just stop that in a league.
If I'm in a fantasy league, I would drop him. Look, I've got him and Doug Martin on a bunch of teams. I'm going to hang on to him for at least one more week.
6.
Yeah, I'm in a tough spot where I have only one roster spot to play with, and I have Martin and Rodgers, but I gotta move on from Rodgers because I'm not gonna play him.
Yeah, I don't know if this matters to you, but kind of sneaky. If Olivier Vernon does not play this week, they're gonna struggle against the run. They haven't been great against the run, and I know he's a defensive end. He's very good against the run, and when he left last week late, and that's when Clement scored a touchdown, and they ran right at that side. So Quiz Rogers against the Giants, it's not ideal. And yeah, we're not enthused, but thought I'd bring that up. JJ Nelson, drop-o-meter?
Zero, zero, zero.
Two.
Zero.
Yeah, zero.
You're giving a two to JJ Nelson and a one to...
JJ Nelson had one good game.
No.
He scored two targets last night. Three targets?
Three.
Don't take away his extra target. He had three of them.
I'm not saying that you should drop JJ Nelson, but he's not undroppable. He's not some star player that we've got the little asterisk next to his name that we won't let him drop him.
He also came into the game banged up. There's a chance he played decoy last night.
Yes.
Paul Perkins.
Oh. 12 and a half.
15.
Heath, say a number higher than 15.
Nine.
Tyrell
You're
Williams.
Hang on to him?
Tyrell Williams. Would you hang on to Paul Perkins?
It's possible.
Don't hang on to Paul Perkins.
So in some scenario, you're hanging on to Paul Perkins and dropping Terrence
West. If I put one at a nine and one at a two, that's not what I'm saying at all. Yeah, that's a ridiculous notion.
I agree. Tyrell Williams.
Oh, I want it to work out so bad for him.
10.
You know what? Two.
Really?
Two.
You don't believe that.
I don't know why I would think that J.J. Nelson is better than Tyrell Williams.
I'll say seven.
That seems like a ridiculous notion to me.
Less mouths to feed.
Less mouths to feed. That's a good point.
If you look at it over a 10-game sample size, when they're both at their best, who's better?
Tyrell, fantasy I bet. Well, that's a good point. But, you know, but it's all Tyrell, you have to look at him in 10 games with Keenan Allen. You know, he's so much better without Keenan Allen.
That's a fair point.
But the only reason J.J. Nelson is really good is because John Brown's not healthy.
Possibly. Probably, yeah. Cooper Kupp, 0 to 10.
I actually think he's a decent sleeper this week.
Yeah, I'm not dropping him if Sammy Watkins is right.
If Watkins is out, he is a decent sleeper. I'll say 2.
And Jeff Steele asks about Corey Davis. Corey Davis, 0 to 10.
0.
0.5.
Zero, but his ownership is amazingly low.
Corey Davis, what is it?
It's like in the 50s.
Ooh. All right, well, he's hurt right now, but we know there's a lot of potential there. Time to talk about quarterbacks. But if you're 0-3, if you're 3-0, you should just want to play more fantasy football. So try FanDuel and use our promo code CBSPOD when you sign up. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. Not only do you get to play more fantasy football, you get a chance to win some money. I'm on a two-week winning streak in my 50-50s. Good for me. Contest start at just $1. I gotta hold on to something. It's been a rough start to the year. Contest start at just $1.
You know what you should do is promote the players you're playing against when they do well Thursday night.
No, shut up. There's a contest out there for everyone. And the best way to win money is not to select anybody in the bonanzas. So that's just what you should do on FanDuel. But you already knew that. But in all seriousness, though, I really do love playing on FanDuel.
Oh, my God. You bonanzed the week last week.
No, we had a great week.
No, the fantasy week was terrible. You didn't give a bonanza and the whole week went kaput.
I don't know about that.
I thought it was a great week.
We
had some amazing games.
Yeah, we had a great week of fantasy. A lot of fantasy bonanza points.
I didn't pick a game.
I can't bonanza the week. I didn't pick any bonanza.
Exactly. So karma just went on the whole week.
See, I know that, like, you know, some of your picks were not what you wanted them to be, but it was a great week of football. It was exactly what we needed. It was beautiful. More on FanDuel real quick, guys. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button. Use our code CBSPOD. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. So just go to FanDuel.com and sign up with the promo code CBSPOD. Again, FanDuel.com. CBSPOD is the promo code, and that's void where prohibited. We've got some Team Name Tuesday in a little bit. First, your waiver wire, your quarterbacks to pick up. So... Luck, no. Bradford, we don't know. And Kirk Cousins, maybe you want to look. Kirk Cousins has Kansas City on Monday and then a bye. So maybe the Cousins owner wants to be taking a look at the waiver wire. But Andy Dalton is the head of the class. How much do you trust him at Cleveland this week?
Lots.
Four straight games of at least 20 fantasy points.
Against Cleveland?
Against Cleveland.
Browns have allowed multiple touchdowns to every quarterback they've faced this year.
In the history of the time.
No, I think at one point they might have played a bad quarterback.
Okay, but just real quick on that, like, they gave up 20 fantasy points to Roethlisberger. Not bad. 18 to Flacco. 29 to Brissett, but he actually only threw one touchdown. He ran for two.
Yeah, Dalton might run for one. He's done that before. I just feel like this is a get-right spot for Cincinnati's offense.
My only concern is, and we saw it happen against Green Bay, and Dalton had 20 fantasy points. He had a good day, but just barely. And it's because he only threw the ball 27 times. And that's because of that pick six. They had a lead, and when they have a lead, they want to just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. I expect them to have a lead in this game. He's going to have to be very efficient to have a good day, and I'm not sure he has the upside to have a great day. I have him outside of my top 12, but I agree that he's a good streamer.
Are you guys starting Andy Dalton or Matthew Stafford this week? Stafford's at Minnesota.
Dalton. No trust in Stafford this week. I mean, the Vikings have been amazing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jared Goff is a streaming option this week. He has the Cowboys on the road. We need Sammy Watkins for this to be a start, a sleeper, or no?
I do.
Yeah, I wrote in the column that I would take Watson ahead of Goff if Watkins is out.
You would take Watson ahead of Goff. Okay, Deshaun Watson, that's our next streamer. He's up against Tennessee. They've given up a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks. I think a lot of it, though, was Russell Wilson. We got Dalton, we got Jared Goff, we got Deshaun Watson, and we have Blake Bortles, the fourth guy in the column here at 21%. Maybe it's not the best week for quarterbacks.
No, I actually like Watson quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
I was impressed by, first off, like, the Patriots defense is not good, but what's like we said, the one thing you always say about Belichick is, who's he going to take away? And there was no taking away DeAndre Hopkins. He was 7-for-8, averaged 9.5 yards per attempt. The Tennessee Titans don't take away anybody.
I think he took away the run game. I think he tried to make Deshaun Watson beat him.
Yeah. He didn't take away Deshaun Watson's run game, though.
No, and that's a nice thing. He's got 100 yards rushing in two games, two starts.
Right. That all he has to do, if he can just average 50 yards a game on the ground, which I think is reasonable, is he just
that's
has to
reasonable?
Run, yeah. He's run, if he runs the ball 7 or 8 times a game.
Well, I don't know. That's 60's fifty's reasonable. I would say 30's reasonable.
I think
how many quarterbacks 40. In NFL history have averaged 50 yards rushing a game?
That's a
don't
lot.
You think that that's something that could be game flow dependent for Watson? That when they're playing from behind and the pressure's on, he's going to start to try and take things into his own hands.
I would think that happens this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Tennessee doesn't scare me at all defensively.
And they may get Fuller back.
Watson's my favorite streamer.
Over Dalton. Really?
It's the start of three straight home games for Houston, too. They've got Kansas City at home in week 5 and then the Browns in week 6.
I'm sorry. I am not putting my trust in Deshaun Watson. He's had one game with more than 17 fantasy points. It was a very good
game.
He's
only had
two
starts. 50% of his games were more than 17 fantasy points.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, he had seven fantasy points against Jacksonville. He actually came in and did all right against Jacksonville. I forgot he only played a half in that game. Yeah, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'd probably go with Stafford. I don't know if I go with Stafford over him. It's pretty low.
You would go with Stafford ceiling. Over him.
I would not.
I wouldn't either. I'd go Watson over Stafford.
Wow.
I think I'd go, well, I'd go Carson Palmer over him.
Yeah, I would too. I agree with that.
Yep.
Palmer's 75% owned. So for some people,
I'll tell you what,
Palmer
if I'm the Cam Newton owner, I'm moving on to Deshaun Watson right now.
Yep.
Was Cam on the drop-o-meter, gentlemen?
He's in the drop list for Jamie, but I would take Jay Cutler over Deshaun Watson. Cutler against New Orleans.
Yep. I would too.
I would not. I would take Watson over Cutler.
Okay. I know Cutler had a horrible game. They played so badly. But it's still New Orleans, and it doesn't mean that he's doomed every week.
But you know what scares me about Cutler? Just not that he can still get stats. He could have a Jameis type game where they get behind, which is most likely going to happen because their defense is not good, and he starts getting turnover prone.
Yeah. Oh, that's always the risk with Cutler for sure.
Right.
Okay, and then Bortles is behind Watson, he's behind Dalton, he's behind Cutler. Like, would you have Cutler or Bortles this week?
Cutler.
All right. So Cutler 57% owned. If anybody drops Trevor Siemian, he's got Oakland at home. What do you think? Could he have a bounce back game?
The only guy I'd start him over that we've talked about is Bortles.
I would start Siemian over everybody but Dalton.
Siemian or Dalton? Siemian or Watson?
Dalton, Siemian, Watson.
Where's Cutler? Siemian or
Dalton,
Cutler?
I have Cutler over Siemian right now.
And Palmer's ahead of them. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Jamie?
I like Simeon a lot this week.
I'm hopeful.
You know who's buried behind all these guys this week for me is Derek Carr.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know where
sure.
you guys put Derek Carr. I'm sure you guys didn't like him coming into the week, but I've got him 22nd among quarterbacks. I hate the matchup for him against Denver.
He's
I have 22nd
second week in a row on the road too.
Terrible track record. Not playing well.
And where do you guys have Cousins this week at Kansas City?
19 for me.
In that range.
He's also behind Deshaun Watson.
Okay, so the Cousins, Stafford, and Carr owners need to be looking for quarterbacks this week for sure. Last guy, they have no running game. They might be playing against a banged-up defense, more of the front seven. Any interest in Eli Manning coming off a 28-point game?
Yeah.
Depends if the defense is healthy for Tampa Bay.
But if they don't have Brent Grimes or Levante David's out, Noah Spence, is he going to play? A lot of question marks. Jamie, you really nailed it. If several of their starters are out, it's going to make the matchup so much easier for everybody on the Giants, including the offensive line. And it should put Eli in a position to put up numbers. I don't know if it's going to do anything for their run game.
No.
But it's it's definitely going to give Eli a chance to get some nice numbers over 30 or so pass attempts.
I ranked Eli based on the players that finished the game for Tampa Bay last week. And
where do you have him?
I've got him 14th, ahead of all the guys we've talked about.
Wow.
He's like 15 from that range.
Yeah, I've got him 16.
Okay, Manning is 66%.
But I would start Simeon over him still.
Me too. Cutler ahead of Eli?
I would put Eli ahead of Cutler. It's easy to say that Cutler should do well against the Saints, but it's easy to say that Cutler should do well against the Jets. I mean, they just looked awful.
They did.
They couldn't run the ball at all. And they gave up on it, and I don't know how time of possession went in that game.
They had 27 yards of total offense at the half.
Yeah.
Right, and I know that Cam is not Cam anymore, and he's not necessarily good, but are we sure that Cutler is better than Cam? Because Cam didn't just have a good day against the Saints.
Well, Cam also lost all of his weapons. I mean, you know, that's a big part of it.
Right. He was also way off target. And I just think Cam might be toast.
His center was out, too. But this is now three straight road games for the Dolphins. Not good.
I thought this was a home game. I'm sorry.
No, they're
in London.
Oh, okay. It's that. The Dolphins, by the way, had the ball for 23 minutes and 52 seconds against the Jets last week. Jets had it for more than 36 minutes. To the running backs. But first, I just want to remind you, if you want to watch any football on your computer or any mobile device, your local NFL on CBS games are live on CBS All Access. Here's the URL to go to, cbs.com/NFL. cbs.com/NFL. Free trial. Start watching games. Start watching more games. Very good stuff. Running backs. Okay, so LeGarrette Blount could be available in shallower leagues. Duke Johnson could be available. He's 69% owned. He had 6 catches for 81 yards, only 2 carries last week. He did have a rushing touchdown.
He's the bronze version of Chris Thompson.
And which Chris Thompson would you prefer, the Washington version or the Cleveland version?
The Washington
version. The one that doesn't play in Cleveland.
Okay. So then here are your priorities at running back. Wendell Smallwood, 17% owned. Deontay Foreman, Jamal Charles, and Devontae Booker. Alvin Kamara, Elijah McGuire, and Jamal Williams. And Brandon Oliver, just in case there's a...
That's just an emergency.
Yeah, just in case
no Andre Ellington on the list, huh?
I put him in. I didn't put it in the ad guys. I put it in when you're dropping Kern Williams, look at Andre Ellington.
So, yeah, Foreman. So Smallwood's obviously the head of the class here. Foreman, Charles, Kamara, Elijah McGuire, Jamal Williams, Brandon Oliver, Devontae Booker. Some of these guys are handcuffs. I don't know. Give me your... Jamie, how are you phrasing... How are you framing running backs?
It's obviously not a lot of great starting options for you. I mean, I think at best Smallwood is a flex right now. So you're looking at, you know, Foreman taking on more work, although the snap count doesn't necessarily work in his favor so far, but he's looked very good, you know, at times in the last two games. Jamal Charles looked great last week. He's averaging 5 yards a carry, so that's impressive. And you would think that the Broncos maybe start to give him a little bit more work. You know, he's only had about 10 touches a game, but, you know, he's looked good in those 10 touches. You know, Dave mentioned it with Ellington. You know, he's looked like the best Cardinals running back, but I think that's going to be kind of game flow dependent. Like, if they're ahead of the 49ers this week, I don't know if Ellington has a bigger role. And maybe they go back to Kern Williams after Chris Johnson's failure, but it's not the best of weeks, you know, like what we had last week.
Mm-hmm. Who's the best lottery ticket here? Ellington, Elijah McGuire, one of the Broncos guys, Deontay Foreman.
Can we call Foreman a lottery ticket? Because if so, I think it's easily him. He has looked – there's a spark there. I'm not sure that we're going to see it this year, and it's without a Lamar Miller injury, but there's something there.
There's definitely something there. I would put Alvin Kamara right behind him, though, as far as long-term guys that you want to stash. I just have a feeling that the Saints are going to maybe not turn to Kamara as a full-down player, but I think he'll get plenty of – he'll continue to get plenty of work. He hasn't really gotten a lot of carries. I think that can go up. Adrian Peterson just is wasting time in that backfield. Mark Ingram's really good. I think the coaches like Kamara.
Okay. Right. Drop list, Thomas Rawls, Paul Perkins, Kerwin Williams, all pretty droppable. So we have to talk about wide receivers.
Hold on a second, Adam. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Would you pick up Thomas Rawls if you saw him on your waiver wire?
For me, only if I own Chris Carson.
My leagues, the answer is no.
If I own Carson, I would. Maybe.
I would too. I would definitely take Smallwood over him. And I think I'd consider the other two that we talked about just now, Kamara and Foreman, over him too. So he's kind of hit the end of the line here.
Heath, let me tell you something. Our Heathdom team,
yeah,
is good. We're going to be in good shape.
We had a rousing victory this week thanks to Chris Johnson for being awful.
We're in good shape. We got Chris Carson. I am happy about it. We made a sly trade last week for Chris Carson, giving up Lamar Miller, and I think we got a better wide receiver in return, if I recall.
We are the lowest scoring team in the league by more than 10%.
I don't care. Like, things are looking up. Arrow's pointing up.
We scored 211 points in 3 weeks.
Yeah, but
we are awful.
We don't have any kickers, so
or quarterbacks.
Or quarterbacks. That is true. But nobody needs a quarterback these days. Team name Tuesday, real quick here. Turn Burkhead and Goff.
That's clever.
Excellent.
I wince because it hurts. I think that's like I wince. It's actually
right.
Good. Yeah. I didn't get that at first, but I guess I should have. I probably didn't have to explain that. Zeke and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Any chance to sing?
Any chance to sing. But I feel like, do you guys know that song yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because previously it was a mystery to some of the FFT members. And this is a good one. Boyd where prohibited.
It's funny.
Okay.
The winner is the first one.
Turn Burkhead and Goff?
Yeah.
Wide receivers. The winner, by the way, is all of our listeners for having a team name Tuesday. But wide receivers. All right. Willie Snead's 84% owned. Alan Hearns is 76% owned. You can check for them. Do you like Rishard Matthews better than Willie Snead and or Alan Hearns?
No, but it's close.
Yes.
Does he have staying power? Can he do this all year?
Yes, for this week. No, for long term, because if Davis does come back, he'll be the best receiver there.
All right. Marquise Lee, number two for Jamie after Rishard Matthews. He's 65% owned. Then Marquise Lee is 50% owned. Josh Doxson. Look, if they're not happy with Terrell Pryor, maybe Doxson starts getting more work. He had just one catch. It was a 52-yard touchdown. It was a great catch against the Raiders. Will Fuller is 6% owned. Is Will Fuller going to play this week?
He's looking like it. That's what Bill O'Brien said.
Makes Deshaun Watson better.
Man, Deshaun Watson's going to be so good.
All right, there are a lot of names here. There's Rishard Matthews, Marquise Lee, Doxson, Fuller, Sterling Shepard, Paul Richardson, Kenny Britt, Geronimo Allison, Devin Funchess, Taylor Gabriel, Robert Woods, Robbie Anderson, Jerron Brown. Dave, as you look at this list, who's got the potential to be fairly consistent, reliable for fantasy owners?
For me, it's Sterling Shepard, who I think has become the number two receiver for the Giants. Brandon Marshall just hasn't played well. I think Eli's recognized it. Furthermore, this is a nice, easy target within 10 yards for Eli to hang on when he drops back. There's a second and a half. Oops, there's a defender in my face. I better throw it to the hot read, and that can be Shepard. I think that he's going to continue to be very good value as a third receiver in PPR leagues. Could work his way there for standard leagues, too. Don't forget that he caught 8 touchdowns last year. And he had a big play last week. So he's got all sorts of great talent.
Yeah, and he should have had 2 touchdowns last week. He dropped an easy one. He was also inches short of one. By the way, I don't think the Eagles had a sack against the Giants. They changed their offense. They've gone back to get the ball out really quickly, short passes, slants, And that's probably a Shepard thing, right, Dave? That's better for Shepard than Marshall.
Absolutely.
No. They should never run the ball again.
Probably not. Probably not.
He's the running game.
Just don't ever run it. Like, Lucas just got Madden for the first time this year, and he's trying to understand why anyone would ever do a running play. He's like, I don't understand. If you get so much more yards on pass plays per pass play, why wouldn't you just throw it every time?
It's not a bad point. It's not a bad point.
Two games this year already for Shepard with 7 catches.
Nice. He's 55% owned. How good could Paul?
One of those Beckham did play.
And one of them Beckham did play, and he had 133 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. How good could Paul Richardson be, or Tyler Lockett, if against the Colts this week at home, if Doug Baldwin is out?
This week at home, they could be very good. I have trouble with both of these guys on a season-long basis because they've been so inconsistent. I don't expect this to be a long-term injury for Baldwin. And if you're needing one receiver in a deep league, they're a fine option.
Although Vontae Davis expected to return, and Davis would probably match up with either Richardson or Lockett.
Geronimo Allison, Jamie, 13% owned. You had that stat about him earlier on today's show, but it's a quick turnaround. They got a Thursday game home against Chicago, so going to be tough for Cobb to get back. Would Allison be a top 30 receiver this week?
If Cobb is out, he's in the conversation, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Will Fuller, Josh Doctson, which one of these talented young players has the best chance to hit long-term?
Doctson.
I'd say Doctson.
I agree.
And what's your interest level in Jerron Brown at 5% owned against the Niners this week? Who do they have this week? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, it is
the Niners.
I keep getting the Colts. I keep getting the Seahawks matchup and the Cardinals matchup confused. Yeah, it's the Niners at home for Jerron Brown.
I don't mind the matchup. I kind of feel like you've got to be in a pinch to trust Jerron Brown in your fantasy league. He's a much better stat.
Over 2 games though.
Yeah, he looks pretty good out there.
Should have had 2 touchdowns.
Yep. That's another one with almost 2 touchdowns.
I don't. In our IDP league, it's a really deep league. We have like 28 man rosters or something. I have Devin Funchess. He's been so bad, but there's going to be targets, you know? Like, there's got to be
some.
He
only catches
value.
About half of them.
I know.
Like, that's his thing. That's his hang up.
At New England, though, you feel like there should be some opportunity for Funchess. But he's not that good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. Like, I expect him to get 10 plus targets, which means 5 plus catches. But yeah. I don't know. He's got to get in the end zone.
He does. That'd be nice. All right, tight ends. Tight ends, we got kind of an interesting list here. Cameron Brate, he had a touchdown at Minnesota. Why is Cameron Brate number 1 for Jamie? Because he's facing the Giants. They've been awful against tight ends. But I don't know. I'm sorry, Jamie. Would you rather have Brate or Clay? Are you going to change that? Are you going to make Clay number 1?
Yeah, I'll make Clay number 1.
All right, so Charles Clay is our number 1 waiver wire tight end. It would look
great
like
if you're just streaming for this week, though, because I do think Brate's situation is
Yeah.
Really?
They're both top 12 tight ends this week, but I like Brate better, too.
Okay.
Because of the track record of this Giants defense, and they're banged up.
We did say, though, Clay has the second most targets on the Bills behind LeSean McCoy. He's at Atlanta. So those
could maybe
those
put
two.
Brate ahead of Clay in a standard league, just because of maybe a higher touchdown chance against the Giants, who always give up a touchdown to a tight end. In PPR, I'd still rather start Clay this week.
Ben Watson, 3. He's 41% owned. He had very, very few targets, catches, 3 catches, 12 yards, and a touchdown at Jacksonville, well, in London. He's got the Steelers this week. Ryan Griffin is 1% owned. He missed week 2 with a concussion. He came back in week 3 and had 5 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown on 6 targets. And Tennessee is... they were horrible against Seattle tight ends last week. So Ryan Griffin's there. Austin Seferian-Jenkins. Evan Ingram. Vernon Davis. David Njoku. Mercedes Lewis. How about this hot take? If Jordan Reed is out this week, I take Vernon Davis over all these guys.
All of them but Clay for me. Maybe even over Clay.
I would put him behind Clay and Brate for this week.
And I don't think we should sleep on Ryan Griffin as more than just a 1 week option. If you look at what he and CJ Fedorowicz did last year, which part of it was Brock Osweiler, but Griffin's first big game back, Watson was targeting him. Fedorowicz isn't going to be back until at least midseason, if at all. Griffin's the guy. And right now, the second best option in the offense.
So anything else, Dave? Anybody you want to highlight here? Watson, Ingram, Njoku?
Njoku's interesting if you're looking for a stash in a deeper league. Okay. His playing time is only going to go up as the season rolls on.
He's yet to have 30 receiving yards, but Njoku's only 10% on. But you like Evan Ingram better, right?
I think rest of season, it could be pretty close. Obviously, you're going to see Ingram continue to get 4 or 5 catches per game like he's been getting. So that might make him a little more safe.
Here's a fun question. Mercedes Lewis is 0% owned. He just caught 3 touchdown passes. What should his ownership percentage be tomorrow?
What should it be or what will it be?
Either one.
His ownership percentage should be 0.
You're not going to... No. Like, we have some...
What are you going to do with him? Really?
At the Jets.
How many times did we see this last year where we had a guy...
How many times did we see Mercedes Lewis get 3 touchdown passes?
Not Lewis.
Or anybody. I think the history of guys catching 3 touchdown passes and doing nothing after that is pretty small.
We saw it like twice last year with tight ends.
I mean, Jesse
James... Wayne Allen did it in a game last year. 3 touchdowns. Next week, he did nothing.
Didn't Jesse James have 2 in week 1?
And then he came back the next week and he did absolutely nothing. His ownership percentage will be 9% after this week.
That's about right. That's probably where it should be, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably 10%.
Okay, we'll give him 10. We'll give him 10 then.
Are you picking him up in any of your leagues, Heath? There's only one league I'm in where if he's out there, I'll pick him up.
There's one league I can think of that I would pick him up for
sure. It's the 24-team office league where tight ends get 1.5 per catch.
Let's go to DSTs, guys. DSTs to stream this week. We like the Jaguars. They're 60% owned. They're at the Jets. The Bengals are at Cleveland. DeShone Kizer's thrown 7 picks in his last 2 games. The Packers have the Bears on Thursday, although, you know, Atlanta and Pittsburgh didn't do great, but the Bears in their 1 road game, they gave up a lot of fantasy points to Tampa Bay. This will be their 2nd road game. The Falcons have Buffalo, and I've got one. How about the Lions at 11%? The Lions are 11% owned. They are the number 2 DST in fantasy right now. And they're at Minnesota, and I just don't buy Case Keenum. I know he was great last week, but I don't buy it. I think the Lions are pretty sneaky at 11%.
They were fluky last week with how they got their DST production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not really that excited about them.
They have a good defense, though.
If I want a sneaky, owning less than 12% defense, I'm going to go with the Jets.
Okay.
Let's hope that Bortles becomes Bortles.
Just hope Bortles.
Bortles gonna Bortle. So Taylor Swift.
He's done
said.
That what once, right?
What's that?
Just 1 game so far, right?
Yeah, they get 1 Bortles and 1 Bortles.
Last Bortles.
Last week was
and
a Bortles,
Bortles
too. Like he does that sometimes also.
Yeah,
he does. And kickers: Blair Walsh, Nick Folk, Phil Dawson, Jake Elliott. Stupid Jake Elliott. I hate you, Jake Elliott.
Wow.
That was
a little editorial
about,
comment.
Your team's 3-0.
Falcons. Best concession prices in major sports. I'm a Falcons fan now. Sorry, Falcons
fans.
Yay. That's going to do it for Fantasy Football Today here, our Tuesday Waiver Wire show. Hope it was helpful. Good luck to you out there. Tomorrow we do some trade talk and find out. Well, I'm going to air the Matt Forte interview on Saturday after the mailbag. So I won't tell you which pizza he prefers, but it better be New York. For Dave, Heath, and Jamie, I'm Adam. See you later.
Bye.